And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, he entered Jerusalem. The whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" A whole city stirred up, shaken. The Greek is actually seismos, the word for earthquake. They were shaken just because a man from Nazareth came riding in on a donkey. And more than that, despite the crowds acclaiming Jesus, the Son of David, the Blessed One coming in the name of the Lord, the rest of the city kept asking, "Who is this? Who is this?" Not Jesus the prophet. It is Jesus King. And yet, of course, as we come to the beginning of Advent, year after year, we have to admit that he doesn't look much like a king. You can hardly fault those who found a disconnect between how the crowds greeted Jesus that day and what they actually saw with their own eyes. I wonder if that isn't some of the challenge that we struggle with in these latter days, the disconnect between what we confess and then what we see or even feel. Major note of Advent preaching is the announcement that your King comes to you here now with all the vibrant life and grace that he's come to bring. He is here now always, even to the very end of the age. And yet, well, it doesn't really seem like that, right? He comes to us now with the same humility and gentleness that chose to be riding on a humble donkey when he came to Jerusalem that Palm Sunday, rather than a great war horse. He comes to us now with the same grace and peace that he chose back then when he was surrounded only by his disciples rather than choice warriors or court officials. And yet if we are moved, if we are stirred up, if we are shaken to know that our King does come to us, righteous and having salvation, then shall we not receive him with joy and receive his gifts? We've noted before that as citizens of the United States, kings and royalty don't do much to stir the heart or the imagination. But we need to get over that as we greet King Jesus. For he does what no other king of the world ever dreamed of. He divests himself of power and all of the trappings of kings so that he can come and serve you. Yes, the day will come when every knee will bow and every tongue confess. But now he has not come to overwhelm you. He's not come to dominate you. He has come to you in our flesh to lift you up, to redeem you. And as we greet him, "Come to us," we begin with repentance. And repentance is another note for this season. Repentance done by way of preparation. That is, in a way not unlike we prepare our homes to greet holiday guests and family. We repent, right? We turn around in our lives so that we can greet Jesus with joy and with relief. When we're still indulging happily in those things we know Jesus does not delight in, it makes it hard to receive him, the way that we aren't exactly excited to hear the doorbell ring when the house is a complete disaster. So this is a season to consider your life, your passions, the shape of your devotional life, and bring better order to yourself as you are guided by word and spirit to greet King Jesus come to you. Or St. Paul put it, it's time to put off the works of darkness and to wake up and to put on the armor of light. And then you need to recognize the way that King Jesus comes. Now we're used to rattling off the ways that Jesus King comes to us in gentleness and humility, but I wonder if we aren't bewitched by its ordinariness so that we miss the true wonder of it all. For instance, we are used to saying that Jesus comes to us in his word. That is, when you read God's word, when you read the scriptures, or when you are having the scriptures read to you in public, it doesn't matter the voice that you hear, whether the one you hear with your ears or the one that you hear with your head. It's actually Jesus speaking to you. The Holy Spirit seeks to open your hearts and your ears to hear Jesus speaking to you personally, applying his word to you, just as in times of old he told those parables to the crowds who needed to hear. Jesus will underline a word, a phrase for you to comfort, to reassure, maybe to admonish, to correct. But he is here in his word. So greet him as your king. And then, if a called preacher or teacher is actually teaching or preaching the word, Jesus is there too, talking to you, seeking to answer your questions, seeking to grow you in understanding, seeking to deepen your faith, and that he uses humble folks, just like yourselves, to do this is what makes it easy to pass it by. I mean, we might be tempted, oh, you know, that's just Mrs. Brown or that's just Pastor Schmidt, it's no big deal. We can get caught up in what we see, what we hear. We can get caught up in that person and their weaknesses and their quirks. And then we forget that as they are doing what they're called to, preaching or teaching, it is Jesus using them to come to us. And of course, there's holy baptism. Luther was right in noting that it is not the pastor's hand that does the baptizing. It is Christ. He pours the water of life onto the baptized, using such a simple element to wash away sin and death, to immerse the baptized into life, into holiness, into righteousness. Your king has come to you having salvation. Rejoice, right? And as you might guess, your king is the one who absolves you in confession. The words, "I forgive you," are not the pastor's, not your confessor's. They are Christ's. He promises to forgive all who repent. Your king comes to you and will in no way turn away you when you confess. For he's come to release you from sin, from guilt, so that you can live with him and live in him. And finally, there's the sacrament of his body and blood. He comes to you in bread and wine with the elements of his sacrifice, with his body given to death for your salvation, with his blood shed for your atonement. He brings these precious gifts to you here so that you can say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And then eat and drink, knowing that you are forgiven and restored to fellowship with God in Christ. Your king comes to you. These are precious words. Yes, he comes humbly, he comes gently, but he also comes with power, with grace, so that you would know him and know his love. Yet, meek, mild, on that donkey, Jesus was not come to rule by force. He was come, he is come, to make peace by letting himself be rejected and killed. At the end of Lent, with Palm Sunday looking toward Good Friday and Easter, we are used to reading of his suffering and death and resurrection and know that that's the means by which we receive life. But here, at the end of November, looking toward Christmas, we want to contemplate that babe in the manger, not king who's come to die. Yet year after year, we are reminded Jesus was born in our flesh to pay the ransom that we could not. He came to us as king and as one of us to make peace and to win us with love and grace. We don't have to ask, who is this? When he comes to us, we know it is the Lord Almighty, our King, come to redeem. So let us receive him and then follow him to his kingdom, walking in his light and in his works and his love and his mercy. Even so, amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.